Tom, you're doing some interesting work on fuel cells. Perhaps, first of all, what you could do is tell me a little bit about what fuel cells are.
Well, the best way to think about fuel cells is think of them as continuous batteries. Okay, a battery has two electrodes, an anode and a cathode, and an electrolyte. And a fuel cell has exactly the same thing. The difference is a battery is self-contained, so it only gives out so much power, and then it runs out, and you have to recharge it or throw it away. But a fuel cell, you continuously feed a fuel to one electrode and air to the other electrode. So in theory, it can continue to produce power indefinitely because the anodes and the cathodes, the electrodes, are constantly replenished. Okay, so that's the best way to think of them. And there's five major types of fuel cells going in increasing order of temperature. There's the one that operates around 90 degrees C, which is the Ballard fuel cell, the one that's being used in cars, considered for cars. And for the first time this year, Hyundai and Toyota and now Honda are coming out with fuel cell cars. But this fuel cell operates at very low temperatures. And then there's also three others in intermediate temperatures. And finally, the one we work on, which is the ceramic fuel cell, which operates at 700-800 degrees C at high temperatures. But the big advantage of this fuel cell is that it can operate on any fuel. Most of them have to use hydrogen, and only hydrogen, and very pure hydrogen at that. But the high-temperature cell can operate on virtually any fuel, carbon monoxide or synthetic gas or natural gas, as well as hydrogen.
Now, your fuel cell is one of the recipients of the CCMC's Grand Challenge Award. So what interested them in your project?
Is the application for the fuel cell. Okay, so natural gas is mainly composed of methane, which is CH4. And the trouble with methane, it's not that stable. So when you heat it up to high temperatures to use it for a gas-fired furnace or something to produce heat, it decomposes into carbon and hydrogen. Well, the hydrogen's fine, but the carbon just gets all over the place, the soot, and creates a big mess. And so what they do is reform it. What that means is they turn it into another fuel. And the normal way is to use steam. So you react methane and steam, and it produces a mixture of CO and hydrogen. And then they use CO and hydrogen in the industrial process rather than natural gas, than methane. But there's another way to reform it, and that's called dry reforming because there's no water involved. This involves reacting methane with CO2, and again, produces a mixture of CO and hydrogen. So what we're proposing is to feed a 50-50 mixture of methane and CO2 into a fuel cell, and what happens is then it reacts to form CO and hydrogen. And then we have developed a catalyst that selectively now reacts with the hydrogen to produce water and runs the fuel cell. The CO is untouched. So the net result is the product coming out is a mixture of water and CO. And the CO is a very valuable industrial raw material used to make acetic acid and methanol and various polymers. It's quite an important industrial raw material for a whole variety of chemicals. And so what we successfully do with this fuel cell is we get rid of CO2, we produce electrical power, and we produce a valuable byproduct in carbon monoxide. So we accomplish those three things. So it's the application of the fuel cell that interested CCEMC.
And from your earlier description, it sounds like there would still be pollution from some of the other fuel cells, whereas with yours, you don't have any emissions?
The only emissions are CO and water. And, of course, the water is harmless and the CO is captured and used in it for making various chemicals and so forth in the petrochemical industry and the chemical industry and so forth. So in that sense, we don't. Now, the regular fuel cell, if you use carbon monoxide as the fuel, you're going to produce CO2. But they're much more efficient. They run on 45-50% efficiency, over double the efficiency usually of coal-fired or gas-fired power plants. So although you still produce CO2, for the amount of CO2, you produce much more electricity.
And where would you be getting your fuel from?
Well, the idea is to get it from oil sands plants, coal-fired power plants, natural gas, any place that produces lots of CO2.
Some of the technologies that I've been talking to people about, they're like add-ons or they're small things that can be put into a plant. In your case, how would you use this fuel cell?
Probably on site, they're very portable and modular. They can be built into all sorts of different sizes and so forth, depending on the output of the plant, but it would probably be right at the plant site. And of course, the problem is that we want fairly concentrated CO2 fit into the fuel cell. And whereas often the emissions from these plants, the gas may only contain 15 to 25% CO2. So we've included in this new proposal a carbon capture, which is what it's called. And this is the methods of increasing the CO2 concentration in these emitted gases before feeding them into the fuel cell. So a group at U of C and at U of A that are working on carbon capture has been included in this latest proposal that they were not part of the original one.
So now you have to work at very high temperature at 700 degrees Celsius. How do you do that?
Well, the fuel cell actually, amazingly enough, in addition to giving off power, it actually gives off heat as well. So it's no problem maintaining the temperature because the heat is actually emitted. And we're actually, this is the drawback of reforming natural gas, whether it's steam reforming or dry reforming, it absorbs heat. All right, but we're counting on the excess heat that's given off by the fuel cell as it generates electricity to provide the heat necessary for the reforming reaction.
Well, this almost sounds like it could be something you could use to heat a house if you could get it that small and that safe.
Yes, in some countries it's being considered for industrial home heating. I'm not sure if it's actually made it right into the market yet, but sort of 5 kilowatt size units, things like that, it is a possibility for home heating. Probably doesn't operate any hotter than your current furnace that you have in your home running on natural gas.
What stage are you at now?
Well, we're at the stage that we think that we've developed an excellent catalyst to selectively oxidize the hydrogen and not the CO, and that we've made a lot of improvements to the fuel cell to make it more robust and withstand the high temperatures and everything. This has been done over several years. And so we think we're at a stage now where we can scale it up and see how it works on a more industrial scale. And we've also included a company now who builds fuel cells in this latest proposal.
What has it meant to you to get the funding from the CCMC's Grand Challenge?
Oh, well, I think it's fair to say we wouldn't have got anywhere near as far as we've gotten without this funding, as far as developing this particular application. Yeah, we might have continued along the line of just improving the fuel cell in general, but as far as developing this application, probably that would have hardly gone anywhere without the funding from CCMC.
When do you expect to see this commercialized?
Realistically, maybe 2025, something like that, where the fuel cells would have to be built on a very large scale. If you're going to talk about removing megatons of CO2 from the atmosphere, which is what the industry would like and the government would like, you know, to get to that stage is still a big jump, but probably 2025 is what we would aspire to.
Well, that's not really that far down the road, only less than 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the changes that have come along just in the last few years.
Yes, that's true. So I guess there's some hope for that. And fuel cells are gradually gaining wider acceptance. There's a high-temperature fuel cell has the wonderful advantage that because of the high temperatures, the kinetics are so fast in the reactions, you don't need catalysts generally. The only reason we have one is to selectively oxidize the hydrogen versus the CO, but just to actually run a fuel cell on hydrogen, you don't need a catalyst normally, whereas the lower temperature ones need very expensive catalysts, platinum and rhodium and palladium and things like that. But the disadvantage of high-temperature fuel cells is they have to operate at high temperatures for a long period of time, and it's very hard to make them stable. You know, when you have everything diffuses into each other, and it's the anode into the electrolyte and so forth, when they sit there at high temperatures for an extended period. So the long-term stability of the power output is really difficult. But we think we've made quite a bit of progress in that area in the last few years. So.
And you also said that they produce electricity. What would happen to the electricity? Does it get fed into the grid? Or
that would be up to the company, whether they may need it for their own oil sands operation, needs it to heat up the oil sands, perhaps, you know, so it's possible they would be able to fully utilize the electricity in their own operations. Otherwise, you would probably try to feed it to the grid.
This sounds to me that this is really something that's a real game changer. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it has that potential, but the big problem still is the large-scale fuel cells. you know, if they can be made to operate for long periods of time and stably and so forth, when you start to get up to kilowatt size, 500 kilowatt size fuel cells in that. There are companies producing them, but it's very hard to get information on how successful they are, how stable they are, and so forth. So that would be my biggest concern, is the scaling it up to the full large size fuel cells.
Have you applied for the second round of funding?
Yes. Yeah, July 26th was the deadline, so just recently. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Tom.
You're most welcome. Appreciate it.